This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us. As we've said before, the breaking news of the day is Queen Elizabeth has died at age 96. And, you know, I just told this to someone in the office and who didn't know she was working on something. And it's amazing the reactions you get from people. I mean, we've never had a lot of us, most of us, most people, I think everyone who's alive right now has known her to be just this trooper. That's the word a lot of people keep saying. She was a tough cookie. You know, she lived through a lot of things, and everyone's coming out with different interesting little tidbits here on Twitter. Chris DeGaulle wrote, she sat with every American president since Truman. She even had lunch with Herbert Hoover post-presidency. That's remarkable, really. Yeah, a lot of remarkable things. And I should just add in here, because it is a big day. It is a day that will, you know, be remembered as the day that Queen Elizabeth died. And if you want to call in, if you have anything to add into it, if you have something you want to mention, you always can do that. It's 844-500-4242. We are going to hit a lot of other news stories here. But of course, you know, if you tune into any of the programs today, whether it be, you know, Fox News, Newsmax, CNN, MSNBC, they're going to be running with this all day. And of course, I should mention there are some blue check mark professors who have horrible, tasteless, mean, evil tweets about the 96-year-old queen dying. I will not be reading them on the air. I do not want to give life to those kind of terrible comments, but that should come as no surprise because social media is the worst. It is the worst. So that's that. All right. Now, moving on to a few other stories here while we update you on what's going on outside of Buckingham Palace. Let's talk a little bit about the illegal alien issue that is now not just a border town issue. Now it's becoming an issue for other places. Now it's becoming an issue for all of the people who told us for years, for decades, that this wasn't an issue, that this was actually a blessing, that this was a great thing happening for our country. But now that buses of illegal aliens are being sent to D.C., they're being sent to New York City, they're being sent to Chicago, suddenly this wonderful thing that we should all be welcoming with open arms is costly, it's dangerous, it's, Eric Adams even described it as horrific. So I want to talk a little bit about that because one person, One Sanctuary City in name only mayor, Mayor Muriel Bowser from D.C., was very proud to say that D.C. was a sanctuary city that would welcome the huddled masses. And now she's asking for the National Guard. Now, the National Guard said, no, we're not coming, because Abbott and Ducey from Arizona, they keep sending buses of illegal aliens to D.C., along with New York City and Chicago. And Mayor Bowser thinks that the National Guard should help her because it's putting a strain on the resources. Now, the National Guard said, no, we will not be helping you. So now what she's doing is she's building she's declaring a public emergency, which I'm sure there were other public emergency orders in effect from COVID and all those other emergencies. The gun violence epidemic, that's an emergency. So I can't imagine that this emergency isn't on top of another emergency, but she is declaring a public emergency and she's establishing the Office of Migrant Services. Now, this is not going to come cheap, okay? The Office of Migrant Services is going to cost, well, as far as the money they have allocated for it, around $10 million. And the district is seeking reimbursement from FEMA. The only thing I'm confused about is how these leaders, these political hacks, how they don't see the irony of the fact that they're complaining about what a strain this puts on their resources, how this is unfair, how this means Governor Abbott, you know, isn't a true Christian or doesn't have a soul or is heartless, all these other things. And at no point do they think, well, these other towns across America have had to deal with this. And I thought it was so great. But now that I'm dealing with it, I see it as problematic. Like, that never gets through anyone's head at any point. There's never a eureka moment. And I want to play a cut. And Jared, kind of set this up for people. This woman who's talking about border towns, can you give us a little more information on
her? Yes, this is Brianne Nadeau. She is a D.C. council member talking about what is going on.
It's been said, but it's worth reiterating, that the governors of Texas and Arizona have created this crisis. And the federal government has not stepped up to assist the District of Columbia. So we, along with our regional partners, will do what we've always done. We'll rise to the occasion. We've learned from border towns like El Paso and Brownsville. And in many ways, the governors of Texas and Arizona have turned us into a border town.
See, that's kind of the problem.
Yeah, the problem is, when you really break it down, no one should have to be a border town.
Right.
You know, you can be a town that's on the border. But I think that when she says border town, that means that you're not just on the border, you're taking in people who are crossing from the border.
Right. Well,
and that's the issue.
It's like, I can't remember somebody, whoever it was in New York, was talking about Texas has the infrastructure to deal with this. New York doesn't. It's like they just assume that Texas and Arizona, those are border town places. This can happen there. And like, they're okay with the concept of strained resources in another town or another city.
Well,
as long as it's not theirs.
It's such a good point, Jared, but it's beyond this idea of they're okay with a Texas border town dealing with strained resources. They're okay with fentanyl crossing into the towns in Texas. They're okay with an illegal alien, you know, hitting someone in a hit and run in Texas. They're okay with all that happening in Texas, because what's the makeup in Texas? It's a lot of Republicans. It's credulous boomer groups. But then to bring that to New York City, where it's beautiful people, it's blue check marks, it's sophisticated masses, it's people who voted for Barack Obama and Joe Biden, to bring that into their backyard, I don't think so. And it's okay that that's the hypocrisy of what this situation is. I just wish once in a while we'd get like a tiny bit of a mea culpa. Just a tiny bit. Instead, Eric Adams, you know, puts his feet in the ground even more and says, tries to blame Abbott for this. You said that the Big Apple was a sanctuary city. All Greg Abbott is doing is allowing you to show off how proud you are of your city and how what kind of wonderful sanctuary you can provide. Unless you're a sanctuary city in name only, which is the vibe I'm getting. But $10 million will be used to establish a Office of Migrant Services. That's good news. That's great news. And another thing I noticed with all of these governors and mayors, and whether it be in New York or California, they're obsessed with one place. They're obsessed with one state in this country. They're obsessed with Florida. They're obsessed with Ron DeSantis. And it's amazing, because they have enough on their plates. You know, you look at California, you just figure out that people are unplugging their washing machines and you go, maybe they have some stuff to work out. But no, they're focused always on what's happening in Florida. And I'm so glad that DeSantis, when asked about California, brought this up. Because if I was Ron DeSantis, I would laugh at these journalists who ask me to respond to failed governors like Gavin Newsom and Kathy Hochul. Kathy Hochul is so obsessed with Ron DeSantis that she had to bring him up at a bill that signed in Holocaust education into law. At a bill signing, she brought up Ron DeSantis and people moving to Florida. That is how deranged these people are when it comes to the governor. That's how afraid of him they are. And meanwhile, in their own backyards, it is a complete disaster. It is a mess. but they still want to focus on Death Santis in the Sunshine State. So let's play a little bit of Ron DeSantis responding to Gavin Newsom's criticism of him. Gavin Newsom's really just using Ron DeSantis as this, you know, as this trial balloon to see if people want him to run for president. So if he pounces and seizes and weaponizes on DeSantis, maybe that will boost how Democrats feel about him, and he'll be the new young gun when it comes to running in 2024. I don't think that's going to work, but I'm glad DeSantis smacked down these criticisms. This is Cut 12.
Now, you hear all this stuff. I mean, I hear a lot of people chirping about Florida from, like, California. They're so worried about Florida, they can't even keep the power on in California. I mean, are you kidding me? Someone told me that they will be able, once all the people that want to move to Florida move out of there, then maybe they'll have adequate power. But, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's the old don't worry about me. You know, when someone's life's a mess and they start talking about somebody else and complaining about somebody else, and you say to them, maybe you focus on you for a while. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Worry about yourself. That's what Gavin Newsom needs to do. He needs to worry about himself. Kathy Hochul needs to worry about her own election. Maybe she should be looking at the polls between her and Lee Zeldin. That would tell her all she needs to know. And instead, she's walking around deciding that the masks mandate at the MTA can come off, and she's also just focusing on Ron DeSantis. It's a recipe for success, I'm sure. One other thing I wanted to throw in here, it's not just panic for Kathy Hochul and New Yorkers. There's also panic for Democrats in Georgia, because we were told that Stacey Abrams, I was actually told that she was already governor, but then I was told that if, you know, the whole governor thing didn't work out, she was going to be our president. Well, now it turns out she might not be either. This is from Jesse Hunt. Georgia Dems have grown increasingly pessimistic about Stacey Abrams' chances of ousting Governor Brian Kemp from office, pointing to her inability to appeal to a slice of moderate Republican voters who can decide the state's elections. This is something that the D.C. Beltway people don't understand. For the most part, Twitter is a small, small group of people when it comes to actual voters. Like, they think that if you are beloved on Twitter and in the pages of Vogue magazine, that that is going to translate to some sort of success at the ballot boxes. That is not true. Most Americans are not unhinged. They can't afford to be. Celebrities like Jennifer Lawrence and Kathy Griffin, they can afford to be unhinged. But most people have to worry about real things. And so now it turns out that that moderate slice of people who can decide elections is not very impressed with Stacey Abrams. So what is she blaming now? Sexism. You know, we have that cut where we go, racism, racism. We need to get a sexism one, too. We need a sexism sound cut, because that's coming into play quite a bit lately. 844-500-4242. The Democrat surveillance state is here. 87,000 new armed. That's right. Armed non-law enforcement IRS agents. Why does America need that? The liar said no new taxes on individuals making under $400,000. We paid attention to the $400,000 and they slipped this in under our noses. They will soon control all aspects of your life with armed agents rummaging through every dime you've ever spent. Friends, this is no joke. This is for real. You traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg, and now you have to protect it. So you need this now. Monetary Gold's new guide. It's called 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Call Monetary Gold now. There is no time to delay. The number is 888-617-7994. Get 5 Monetary Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Again, that's 888-617-7994. Time is of the essence. We will be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Queen Elizabeth Elizabeth was on the British throne for 70 years. They had the Jubilee this year. She has passed away and Charles becomes king and the UK is honoring Queen Elizabeth. There is going to be a lot of news coverage of this. I'm hoping Fox is going to bring on Martha McCallum for a lot of this because she does a really great job when it comes to anything royal. Joining us is our next caller. He's getting a little introduction here. Mark, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Mark?
Thank you, Grace. Love your show. But I wanted to follow up about your mentioning of the 87,000 new IRS agents.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people don't know this, okay? But the Federal Reserve is on a hell-bent path to get rid of the dollar bill or $100, whatever bill, paper money, and go to a crypto Federal Reserve coin. And basically what it's going to do is track every single transaction you make, whether it be the pharmacy, the grocery store, or wherever. And they're in on real time. So that's why they need the 87,000 agents, because when they implement this digital coin, it's going to make the tracking so much easier, and they need the personnel to go track and find out why you spent money, where you spent it, where'd you get it to spend it. And it's a big deal, and I thought your listeners should know this. Is Jim Rickards, who is a world-known, wide-known financial person, is the one that I listened to his podcast on. And this was just 2 days ago, and it was a live podcast. And I just thought it's important to get more people aware of the fact that that's why the Dems are hell-bent on trying to take over and keep the House and the Senate, because they want to be in lockstep with what the Federal Reserve wants to do.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense to me. I have heard about this push for, you know, digital or crypto money. And these IRS agents are brought to you courtesy of this Inflation Reduction Act. 87,000 new IRS agents were part of this Inflation Reduction Act tax and climate bill. That's what it delivered. We were told it was going to deliver like unicorns and you know, just a wonderful way of life. And instead, we got 87,000 new IRS agents, which nobody asked for. But I'm glad we're talking about this because Paroline Blog has a very interesting piece on the art of the deal, wimpy style. And Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia, he's been able to kind of fly under the radar the last couple of weeks because there's just been so many news stories. I mean, Joe Biden's red speech under the bright red sauna light. Now today you have Queen Elizabeth dying, and it just, every day there's a new headline. And so Joe Manchin's kind of been forgotten about. But I do think it's worth going back to, because I've been thinking to myself, all right, so the Inflation Reduction Bill, the Inflation Reduction Act has been signed off on. It's going into effect. We're going to get all this new stuff. Why did this have to happen? Because we know it's not going to reduce inflation. If anything, a lot of experts, maybe not the Nobel laureates, but experts I trust, like, you know, Larry Summers, people who actually have been right about things in the past, say it's going to increase inflation. Why would Joe Manchin do this? And as pointed out in Paroline Blog, he did this because he thought he was making a deal. He thought he was getting something out of this. And what he thought he was getting out of it was that the deal was going to be committed to advancing a common sense permitting reforms this fall that will ensure all energy infrastructure from transmission to pipelines and export facilities. So he thought he could bring that to the people of West Virginia, deliver energy safely around the country and to our allies. That was all part of it. He was going to have these great jobs to deliver to West Virginia. There's one problem with that. And that would be that now several Senate Democrats are trying to back out of that deal with Manchin. And since they no longer need his vote to pass a budget reconciliation bill, he doesn't really have. All he has is a handshake agreement with Chuck Schumer. Have you ever heard of anything less reassuring than all I have is a handshake agreement with Chuck Schumer? Now, this is, again here, this is from The Hill. Schumer's plan is running into opposition from progressive House Democrats and outside environmental groups. There's also a chance that several Senate Democrats may balk at the deal with Manchin now that they no longer need his vote to pass a budget reconciliation bill. One official told The Hill on Wednesday that 50 lawmakers had signed on to his letter calling for a separate vote on the permitting reform provisions instead of putting them in the continuing resolution. So this is all translating into, we got the Inflation Reduction Act. It's going to cost trillions of dollars. It's not going to reduce inflation. We got IRS agents. And guess what? Joe Manchin got rolled. I'm shocked. Shocked.
America is back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Have I done the poll question this hour, Jared?
We have not.
Well, we should do it right now. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If Trump runs in 2024, who should be his VP? Carrie Lake, Ron DeSantis, Tim Scott, Mike Pompeo, or Dr. Oz?
I'm going to say Carrie Lake. I'm really, really liking her lately.
Carrie Lake is at 21%, 42% for Ron DeSantis in the lead, 17% each for Tim Scott and Mike Pompeo, 3% for Dr. Oz. And we should just point out, yes, we know that there would have to be some moving of something and that DeSantis and Trump are both in Florida and they can't be on the ticket. It's an imaginary poll question. Just let's not argue semantics on this.
We got sticklers.
Yeah, we got sticklers
in the audience. Well, Sammy, we love semantics. We love you. That's there always has to be a few.
We always love being, we're like AOC. We love checks and balances.
We do.
However, it's an imaginary poll question.
And as I always say,
we'd figure that out later.
As I always say, I take constructive criticism really well. And I'm going to be able to handle it. So thank you. The death of Queen Elizabeth is being mourned in Britain and across the world. Queen Elizabeth II, the country's longest reigning monarch, died Thursday at age 96. Large crowds are expected to gather outside Buckingham Palace in central London. While tributes pour in from across the country, few Britons have known another monarch. So the end of Elizabeth's reign after more than 70 years will thrust the royal family into days of mourning in an uncertain new era. That is from NBC News. I know we've mentioned it quite a bit here, but we have new people tuning in all the time, new stations, and I want everyone to hear that because you're going to be seeing a lot of news coverage about that. Sad news, she was 96 years old, lived a very long, long, interesting life, and we're watching now as the royal family is, you know, going in and out of the castle in Scotland. Okay, I wanted to do a little bit here on this story that is taking place in Las Vegas. It's a very interesting, strange, bizarre, sad tale. So I'm going to read from Newsmax. It says, police arrest Vegas area elected official in reporter death. Now, Clark County Public Administrator Robert Rob Tellis, a Democrat, was taken into custody at his home by police SWAT officers hours after investigators served a search warrant in confiscated vehicles in the criminal probe of the killing of Las Vegas Review Journal reporter Jeff German. Tellis had been a focus of German's reporting about turmoil, including complaints of administrative bullying, favoritism, and Tellis's relationship with a subordinate staffer in the county office that handles property of people who die without a will. The newspaper's executive editor, Glenn Cook, said in a statement that the arrest of Robert Tellis is at once an enormous relief and an outrage for the Review Journal newsroom. Tellis, a lawyer who practiced probate in estate law, won his elected position in 2018. He lost his June party primary. In the weeks before the election, German, that's the reporter who's been killed, bylined reports about an office that was dealing with turmoil and internal dissension between longtime employees and new hires under Tellis's leadership. Tellis blamed old-timers for exaggerating the extent of his relationship with a female staffer and falsely claiming that he mistreated them. He said to the newspaper, all my new employees are super happy and everyone's productive and doing well. Tellis later posted Twitter complaints about German, the Review Journal reported, including claims in June that German was a bully who was obsessed with him. German, a reporter with a reputation for tenacity, was working on a follow-up report, the newspaper said Wednesday, and recently filed public records requests for emails and text messages between Tellis and three other county officials. German's body was found Saturday morning outside his home. Police said he apparently was killed Friday and characterized the attack as an isolated incident. The Clark County coroner ruled that German died of multiple sharp force injuries and ruled the case a homicide. As I pointed out several times, if you see this on the news today, and if you're reading about it especially, you'll have to scroll down to like the 15th or 16th paragraph to find out that Tellis is a Democrat. In fact, they're describing him as a county official who ran as a Democrat. So it can never be straightforward if the Democrat's involved. All right. Now, on another note, last night there was a shooting spree that was happening in Memphis. And I wanted to talk about this because we have some sound here from the Memphis mayor, and it's really heartbreaking. And this isn't just something that's an isolated thing that's happening in Memphis. This is happening in cities across this country. And as I said to Ned Ryan when we had him on earlier, there doesn't seem to be the outrage that there should be. It never seems to get the kind of coverage that you'd hoped it would. And instead, you have these mayors oftentimes who are just... they're devastated, and the people in their cities are devastated. And a lot of times it comes down to bail reform. It comes down to, you know, the lack of law and order in our current society. And I wanted to play a little bit from Jim Strickland here. Let's play cut 18.
This is no way for us to live. And it is not acceptable. The people of our city were confronted with the type of violence no one should have to face.
Let's play cut 19.
The problem is not the Memphis Police Department, because they're arresting people. The problem is this judicial system that will not punish. That is our problem.
And that's something you see a lot of, and even when you look at New York and you look at some of these DAs and you look at other cities, people are arrested. That's not the issue. It's the people are not held in prison for sometimes not even for 24 hours. And I want to play another cut here that stuck out to me. This is a Memphis newscaster reporting on this, Joyce Peterson from Action News 5. Take a listen to her report of the violent crime that is terrorizing the city. This is cut 9.
Extremely dangerous situation. And I know... Memphis is tired right now. Yeah, I'm good. I'm with you all. Memphis is tired right now. The Eliza Fletcher kidnapping and abduction and murder. The other crimes we've had this year leading up to this. It's difficult right now. Bear with me. It's a very nerve-wracking night.
If you're not really sure what the Eliza Fletcher story is, that's been all over the news as well. She was jogging in the morning. And she was kidnapped and killed. She's an heiress. I think she was a school teacher and a mother. Just a horrible, horrible story. But as you hear this, as you hear these people who are dealing with Democrat policies run amok and who are dealing with these woke judicial system ideas, I want you to remember it, because then we have, in contrast, we have what AOC, what Joe Biden, what all these White House, D.C. Beltway people are worried about, and it's not that.
They're... according to Andy Ngo, last year Ezekiel Kelly was convicted of aggravated assault and sentenced to 3 years in prison, but was released early. His attempted murder and other felony charges were dismissed. So the only conviction was for aggravated assault, which carried the three-year sentence.
Okay, so let me correct that then, because he was not convicted of attempted murder in 2020. That was a false bit of information there. But I wanted to just juxtapose this with what's happening at the White House, because I read you a little bit here from the Politico story about CNN, and I didn't even get to the part where they're all talking about the speech. Actual Republican viewers don't seem fully on board yet. During Biden's last speech, CNN attempted to color correct parts of the speech in real time, noticeably lessening the intensity of the red backlighting behind Biden. A CNN source pinned the blame on CBS News, which provided the television pool feed during the speech. But it was CNN that took the heat, riling up conservatives online for the change in background color. We were pouncing. We were seizing. We were weaponizing. But even some White House staff acknowledged that they erred in certain components of Biden's speech. Two other people with knowledge of the mood inside the building said some staff were flabbergasted by the advanced team's work, which made it so that a close-up shot of the president only included the blood-red background. So this is how bad these people are doing their jobs, where they're also flummoxed by each other's ineptitude. And then another part of this that I want to draw in here is that meanwhile, as these cities are breaking down and people are just begging for help, You have AOC on the cover of GQ. And here's just a few of the words of wisdom from Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, from New York, by the way. And as I've mentioned, they have their fair share of issues. In her interview with GQ, Ocasio-Cortez said that so many Americans deeply and unconsciously, as well as consciously, hate women. AOC says that Americans, so many Americans, hate women. And that's why she predicted that she will not become president, because in her view, Americans hate women. Huh. Got it. Interesting. She's been on a lot of magazine covers. And as one Twitter user pointed out, and I love this, because this just puts it all in perspective. AOC has been on numerous magazine covers, but not a single one of her bills has ever passed into law. She's been in Congress since 2019. In that time, how many Instagram Live videos have we seen? Magazine covers, celebrity sit-down interviews, award shows, red carpets, Met Galas. And not a single one of her bills has ever passed into law. Ah, you hate to see it. Meanwhile, speaking of magazine covers, if you missed this, Jennifer Lawrence was in Vogue this month. And did you see, Jared? She has dreams about Tucker Carlson. She's very frustrated with her family because they don't agree with her politics. She's trying to forgive her dad, I think, for being a Trump supporter. And I love how a lot of people...
Baby steps.
A lot of people were pointing out, this is a woman. She's having nightmares about Tucker because he's so scary and so evil. This was a woman who was tight. Arm around the, you know, the shoulders, hanging out, laughing together. Very tight with Harvey Weinstein. Does she have any nightmares about Harvey Weinstein, or is it just Tucker Carlson she dreams about? Just curious. Just another double standard. Baxter, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Baxter.
Hey, Grace, real quick, just a quote from Ben Shapiro I heard the other night. He said, you know, the left, everybody thinks the left is for gun control. He says, actually, the left loves guns the most, as long as they're used by the government against the right-wing MAGA people. So have a good afternoon, okay? Take care, Grace.
Thank you very much, Baxter. And another thing the left loves is violent rhetoric, as long as it's used against Trump or Republicans. It's fine. Like, take, for example, Kathy Griffin. She's now saying that there's going to be a civil war if you don't vote for Democrats. That's the kind of rhetoric that, if I said that, if I told my listeners, hey, make sure you vote for Republicans, not because of their platform, not because of their beliefs, not because of what they're going to do, not because the other guy sucks so bad. No, no, no. Vote for Republicans, because if you don't, there's going to be a civil war.
Since the Civil War.
You think people would have a problem with that? I think Jared would have a problem with it. I think Jared might say, hey, maybe we rein it in a bit, Grace. But Kathy Griffin, the woman who held up a bloody head, a fake head of Donald Trump for a magazine cover, speaking of magazine shoots, she can say it and there's no problem about it. Rick Wilson can say, and is this a new cut?
I believe this is a flashback.
This is a flashback. Let's take a little listen to Rick Wilson on MSNBC.
And the donor class can't just sit back on the sidelines and say, oh, well, don't worry, this will all work itself out. They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump. And that's a fact.
And that's the guy who Ron Klain is sitting around retweeting at night, late at night.
Of the Lincoln Project.
844-500-4242. Charles becomes king as the UK honors Queen Elizabeth. She died this afternoon in Scotland. And we will be right back with more when we talk to Howie Carr. We all knew it was coming. It finally has. The real estate frenzy has really slowed down due to inflation, interest rates, and the overall economy. For sale signs are sitting in the ground longer, buyers are backing out of deals, and large crowds of buyers have disappeared. If you plan to divest one of your most valuable assets, your real estate, then act now while demand is still hanging in. And if you want to sell or even rent your property and you're thinking that maybe renting it for right now would be a comfortable short-term solution, it won't be if you want to sell in a year or two and you get a lot less money. So don't hesitate. Sell today at auction under your terms. JJ Manning Auctioneers have been working for over 45 years. They have the perfect marketing plan and recipe. It stood the test of time. In every type of economy, JJ Manning consistently creates a competitive environment with cash buyers who are ready to close with no contingencies. So all you have to do is call 800-521-0111. Again, that's 800-521-0111, or go to jjmanning.com to get your property sold. Again, that's 800-521-0111, or go to JJ Manning to learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. And today's car crossover is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, where I leased my RAV4. I love the staff there. And leasing or buying a car is easy, personalized, and moves at your own pace. So car buying or leasing the way you want it to be at toyotaofportsmouth.com. Howie Carr joins us now. Howie, the big news of the day that is going to be all over the news networks for the foreseeable future is that Queen Elizabeth has passed away and Charles is becoming king. What's your reaction?
She was a great monarch. I mean, I never knew of anybody else being on the throne, nor did the vast majority of people in the world. I mean, she was there for 70 years, and she got the job done. And I don't think it was that easy of a job. You know, it was, you know, you have to go out there and shake hands, and you have to know what you're talking about and read these comments and deal with buffoons like Boris Johnson. You know, come
and be nice to
you.
All of them. You can't be mean to the ones you don't like.
Exactly. And she was really good at what she did. And again, she had a hard scrabble past despite everything. I mean, anybody who lived through the Blitz in London, they had to have the right stuff.
Yeah, you know what's funny you say that, Howie, is sometimes when you talk to people at the royal family, and I understand this mindset of, you know, oh, they just sit around all day, they don't do anything. And I always say to people, you ever been to a college graduation and sat through that? Try going to like three of those a day for the rest of your life. That's essentially what they do every day.
Yeah, well, you and I met Fergie once, right?
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, she was obviously made a great impression.
Quite the lives we've led, Howie. We've met Fergie before.
But, I mean, she was a bust out. But still, I mean, she worked hard at, the weird profession or trade that she had, you know? I mean, she wanted to know the names of people that she was going to meet so she could say something nice about them and then memorize it. I mean, she did a lot better job. Even a bust out like Fergie did a better job than Biden or Kamala Harris can do with their personal appearances.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. All right, Howie, so give us a little taste of what you got going on the show today.
We got all kinds of stuff going on. I think we got John Hinderocker coming on from Powerline Blog to talk about what's going on in Europe. I mean, they're now talking about putting people in jail for 3 years in Switzerland for turning up their thermostats above 68 degrees. Can you believe that? I mean, I'm going to get the capital offense for what the temperature I have the studio in.
Yeah, you would be locked up for a long time.
So how's that green energy thing working out for the Europeans? And by the way, you know where they're going to get their natural gas from this winter? The United States of America. You think that's going to mean lower prices or higher prices here in the States?
844-500-4242. Howard Lawrence Carr has a great show planned. We'll be back tomorrow, everyone. This is The Grace Curley Show.